This is Sarah Strudwick, author of Dark Souls, and I've decided to do another interview with John after the interview we did on a voice dialogue and negative core beliefs, exploring the inner child. So I'm just going to hand you back over to John Nutting.
Good morning, Sarah.
Morning.
The working with that part of us is one of the most beautiful, what shall I say, the most beautiful understandings that anyone can ever achieve, is that there's a part inside of us which never dies and never grows up. The brain cells that joined together when we were small children do not become unjoined as we grow older, according to the calendar. The inner child is one of the most real parts of every one of us. And the sad thing is that so many people don't even recognize their inner child, and they don't talk to their inner child as a part of them that is separate enough to want to be recognized as, I'm still here. So my inner child, little John, spent 55 years being unnoticed and having no one to talk to, but trying to do so much to help John, because there wasn't a self-aware grown-up John there anyway to do the work. These days, little John relaxes and plays, but sometimes he comes out and talks to people, and he has his own email address. That's how real he is. And, of course, he knows now that there's a grown-up John who looks after things, and he doesn't have to worry about them any longer.
Now, it's interesting you said that little John has his own email address, because from my experience, I wasn't aware of having this little girl part of me inside, and I'm very aware now when that little part of me is doing the work or acting up, or not acting up, but acting out as a child rather than... And in the past, I would have told her off and basically said, don't be silly, Sarah. And now I don't. I tend to be, you know, much more compassionate towards her.
There's a beautiful phrase to say to the inner child, which is, this is grown-up's work. Leave it to me as the grown-up and I will fix it.
No, absolutely. I mean, I work with clients myself, same as you. Now, often I'll notice that the adult part of a child who's perhaps been in an abusive childhood will be very lacking in touch with their inner child. And is this quite common with people that you deal with?
Well, you're right about being not in touch with the inner child, but often the child is actually very predominant in the way they behave. Not childish, but childlike. And one of the things I always do, I check to people and say, okay, when you were doing that, what was your emotional age at that time? And so often the answer is very quickly, oh, I felt like I was about 6 years old. This is from someone who might be in their 40s. And when I work with people, as I do all around the world, we always get that separation between self-aware grown-up part, which I call the SAGUS, S-A-G-U-S, for self-aware grown-up system, and the child. And it's not unusual for me to get a call on the phone, and I know that it's their inner child who knows they can ring, and the inner child is saying, I'm frightened, or I'm worried, or something awful has happened. That's how real it is. And then I say to the child, where's the grown-up part? Oh, I don't know where the grown-up is. And it's like the child has once again felt they have to come out and fix things. Which is the wonderful thing about the work, is that gradually the self-aware grown-up system really does start to take over.
Is it possible, I mean, obviously, keeping a client confidentiality, for you to give an example so that listeners can understand how it would work in everyday sort of situations, perhaps where you've had a call in the middle of the night, or somebody's phoned you up in a situation where they couldn't deal with something, and on the surface they probably would have been able to deal with it.
Okay, I I don't think I'm revealing client confidentiality here because I won't do anything to identify the person, except to say that I had been working with this psychologist for about 3 months, and we'd really achieved a really, really good separation, and the self-aware grown-up part was getting stronger and stronger, and I was feeling confident that they'd really got, got a good sense of my child is now safe and doesn't have to worry about things. One morning the phone rang and I knew almost immediately it was her inner child talking, saying, I have to go. I have to go to a meeting. I don't want to go to this meeting. I'm scared. I don't know what it's going to be like. And I very quickly said, well, I am talking to little, we'll call her Mary, okay? Which is not her name. I'm talking to little Mary, aren't I? And the voice on the other end of the phone said, yes, that's me, and I'm frightened. So I'm frightened, and I want my mummy. That's how real it was. And so I said, okay, I will need to talk to the grown-up part, because surely the grown-up is the one to go to the meeting. And so I actually said, can you relax and go and play and let me talk to the grown-up, remembering that I'd already talked many times to the grown-up self. And I did, and I said to the grown-up part, you should go to that meeting, not the little girl. And she went to the meeting, and she phoned me a couple of days later, and she said, I walked through the door, and everybody looked at me and said, whoa, you look great tonight. That meant that the grown-up part was projecting grown-up energy. If she'd gone through as a scared child, people would have noticed it.
No, absolutely. And, I remember having a conversation with you once about saying, I can't remember the exact words, but it was saying, when you're having an argument, for example, with your spouse, and you have a husband or somebody standing there stomping their feet and telling you what to do, do you really think that it's an adult person, or is it a 5-year-old? And it's an analogy that I use with people quite often. They say, yeah, I have arguments with my partner all the time, they're like a 5-year-old. And they really are. You're dealing with a 5-year-old that you're not dealing with an adult. And I know I've been guilty of it myself.
The emotional age is that because the more vulnerable we're feeling, the more likely we are to regress back into one of those child states. And I remember a man, a large man, a big physical, tough man. He'd been in the Navy, and he was actually crouched in my office saying, I want my mummy, I want my mummy. So that just emphasizes how absolutely real the inner child part is. Oh, and an Australian girl that I'd worked with here who was in London, and I got a call from her one day, and she said, I want to go home. I'm lonely here in London. And same thing always, talk to the grown-up part, and I'm happy to say that 18 months later, she's still in London and having a wonderful time.
Well,
so we talk about that as separation, getting the separation between the inner child protecting and saying the grown-up part protects and looks after the inner child and creates a safe place where the child can go and feel, in my safe place, I don't have to worry about anything. I can just be a little kid.
What about, okay, you said about the situation where the woman said she wanted to go home. Can it not work the opposite? I remember a situation many years ago where I felt extremely vulnerable, and I was in a very extremely dangerous situation whilst I was travelling, and I wanted to actually go home, and it was the child phoning up my parents and saying I wanted to go home, and as usual I got the response, just do whatever, and there was no normal response. And the child in me always was, it doesn't hurt, it doesn't matter. So I went into the child mode and said, okay, I'm fine, and I would go and just pretend like it didn't actually feel anything? So can it have the opposite effect where children were just like, oh, it doesn't hurt? So say, for example, a child, not in my case, but a child who was beaten senselessly when they were a child, they may, as a protection mechanism, go into the child mode where, to protect themselves, they may, as a grown-up, pretend that things don't hurt, because that's the child part of them did that as a survival mechanism.
Absolutely. I think you've just highlighted a couple of things about the child. One is, if there's no grown-up system present, the child will come incredibly adept at coping in the best way they can. But in some cases, that might be by becoming a victim. In another case, it might be becoming a bully. In another case, it might be becoming tough and hardened. In each case, the child is saying, there's no one else here. I've got to put on the appropriate uniform or the appropriate hat and coat and go out and pretend to be a grown-up. And, of course, it doesn't work terribly well. But it works better than nothing.
Right.
And so we get what are called repetitive patterns of self-defeating behavior.
No, it's interesting, because I always think, you know, and I know from my own experience where the child bit of me was like, oh, it doesn't hurt, it doesn't care. So I'd always run off and say that it didn't actually matter. Do you understand?
Because as a little girl, you'd learn that that was the best way of coping.
Yeah, no, that's why I was asking. And, you know, I was thinking more along the lines of people who'd been perhaps severely abused and severely beaten, and they would probably use that as a coping mechanism.
Yeah, childhood trauma has so many serious effects. It's hard to, in an interview, go into just how deep the effects are, but it would be worthwhile if people are interested Googling developmental trauma disorder, DTD, because there's a lot of new work being done around that area.
Right, okay.
But certainly the negative core belief that we were talking about before comes in to help the inner child make sense of what's going on, even if in fact it should not make sense. To help the child cope with the fact this is happening, and it's happening over and over, and they take on a belief which, in a way, says, well, you don't have to worry about this, it's going to keep happening anyway, which is a very poor compensation, but it's better than nothing.
So as people start to explore the inner child and do the healing work, which you do, and there's a lot of it on your website, I do it as well myself, do you find that it takes time for them to integrate? Well, not integrate, but that part of them that never goes away, eventually they start to become more adult. And the other thing that I noted, we've talked about it before, they end up enjoying themselves more because the child actually comes out to play and have a bit of fun sometimes.
Yeah. The child should never grow up or become adult. That can't happen. But the adult or grown up part becomes the primary operating system for that person. And the child relaxes and, as you said, starts to feel at ease for perhaps the first time in that person's life. I used to have absolutely terrible headaches almost every day of my life. Doctors had prescribed it as arthritis of the neck and said I would be on painkillers the rest of my life, and yet once I started doing inner child work, the pain went away.
And
so, yeah.
as you've gotten older, would you say that you have more fun?
I'm having more fun and a better life the last 12 years of my life than the previous 55 years.
Well, you certainly look and sound a lot younger than your years, John, that's for sure.
Well, I can thank little John for that, can't I? He keeps me young.
So
I can also thank self-aware grown-up John for allowing little John to go and play and not have to work as hard as he used to have to work.
Yeah, because you worked quite a lot, didn't you, before? You were a self-confessed workaholic.
Absolutely. At one stage, and I acknowledge this was little John in my mid-40s, lecturing full time, but in the afternoon from 3 in the afternoon from 9 at night was my lecture day. Getting up at 6 in the morning to build a three-story house to try and save a marriage that building a house wasn't going to save anyway. And in the spare time, writing a 300,000-page manuscript for that textbook, which became The Business of Communicating. Now, the house was very successful. The book was extremely successful, became an Australian bestseller, and my lecturing was very successful. But I didn't feel happy inside because poor little John was doing it all. And what a magnificent job he did, but that's when the headaches were starting.
And now, how do you feel with all the work that you've done on yourself?
Well, I relax, I have fun. Things can still upset me or bother me, but I keep saying to myself, this is grown-up's work. And little John says, you're right, it's grown-up's work and I don't have to worry about it. And he goes off and plays. Sarah, can I mention my website, loveyourinnerchild.com, love your inner child with hyphens in between, love-your-inner-child.com. That'll take people to the site where they can read more about this wonderful work.
No, absolutely. No, I'm a big fan of inner child work, and well, on that note, I think I better let little John go off and play, hadn't I? I might.
He hasn't been doing this interview. He's been waiting for his dinner, but he is getting. I could also just briefly acknowledge the wonderful work of an author, an American author called Pia Melody, Pia Melody, who has written some of the most profound and yet easy to follow work on inner child work and also on addictions. And if anyone wants to go to the source, and that's where I trained with Pia Melody in Arizona and with the people at her center called The Meadows. That's where I learned about it. And I do want to pay a tribute to her for her wonderful teaching.
No, Pia Melody, interestingly enough, her book, The Codependency Book, was one of the books that I didn't actually want to read, but felt like I needed to read it. So that was a really good book for me to read. She's done some really interesting work. So now I'm with you on that one. Okay, well, thank you very much, John. And you can go and have your dinner in a minute.
Big John and little John will both go and eat. Okay, thank you so much. Great talking as always, Sarah.
Okay, so if anybody'd like to find out more about John's work, I'll be posting the links on my and a transcript of the interview on my website. Thank you very much.